Yeah, time out called, and that could be a good thing. 0.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS 88.1 FM in Falls Pass, and KKQA 88.1 FM in Accutan, Alaska.
It's time now for your community window here on KSTP. Starting with job openings, the QT Tribe of Sandpoint is looking for a grant writer, an executive director, and an environmental assistant. The Shimigan Corporation of Sandpoint is hiring a housekeeper and a bartender. The Palof Harbor Tribe is looking for an administrative assistant. The Adaga Tribe of King Cove is looking for a tribal administrator.
Also, it's on live. Okay, Jada, after the timeout, Jada taking the ball out for the rookies. Ball's live now. Mary with the ball. 31 on her. Trying to guard her, but Mary's getting around her. Jay sets the screen for her. Doesn't really work. Batia gets the ball, passes it to Ella. Passes the work, but Revere gets the ball back from the Malamutes. Passes it to Tia. She posts up, shoots, misses, but she gets her own rebound. Looks, gets it out to Mary at the three. Mary drives, shoots, and makes it!
Nice, Mare!
32 taking the ball down for the Malamutes. 32 passes 33 at the wing. 33 back to 34. Passes it to 32, 31. 31 looks to see what she can do. But passes back to 32 at the wing. And she shoots a three, misses. Mary gets the rebound. 32 playing rough defense on Mary. But Mary passes out to Jada. Jada with the ball looks, passes it to Mary up top. Revere wide open. Revere shoots the three. And she misses. 31 gets the rebound and hustles the ball down the court. Looks, stops, sends it back out to the three. 32 with the ball, shoots the wide open three, and makes it! Scores now 36-31. Tia with the ball. Mary gets it, gets past her defense. And now it's trapped. 32 gets the ball, the stop by Tia. Malamute's ball.
Oh,
or rookie's ball. Whoops. Mary taking the ball out.
Oh,
timeout called. Show the thing.
Yeah, another timeout called. And oh. It's not really long enough time to play any music. So we're just about through the fourth quarter, it looks like. And the score last I checked was 36-31. And New Haven's ahead. So, great game. And waiting for the Ever coming back.
Fanny Jo looks like she's trying to come up with a plan for her team. A few more points in with about 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, the score of 36-31, New Haven up. Jada taking the ball out. Passes it to Mary. Mary dribbles to try and get around her defender. Passes it to Olivia. Blocking foul called on 31. Jada once again taking the ball out for the rookies. Passes it to Mary. 31 playing tight defense on Mary. Does not stop her.
Nice! Woo!
Makes 32 taking the ball down the court. Score of 36-33. Malamute's up. 31 with the ball now in the corner. Looks, tries to drive. Does not stop. Passes to 13. 13 shoots and misses. Mary taking the ball down the court. Mary looks. Passes it to Tia.
Finger post.
Tries passing to Ella, but stolen by 32. Ella, Jada playing rough defense on her. 13 with the ball now. Passes it to 31. 31's waiting for team to set up. Passes to 32. 32 takes the three and misses. Revere gets the rebound. Passes to Ella. Mary Mayo with the ball now, taking down the court. And passes it to Tia. Tia, ball is tipped out by 32. Julia with the ball taking out underneath the hoop now. She's trying to make something happen. Pass it out to Revere at the three. Revere passes back to Jada at the three. Jada shoots it and misses. Now, ball is out now, so now 32 taking the ball down the court for the Malamutes. Decide what she wants to do. Passes 24 at the wing. 24 tries to make something happen, does not get far. 32 holding the ball up top. 13 tries to cut to help, does not get far. 31 with the ball now. Looks, passes it back to 32.
Go left, go left.
Mary guarding 32.
Dead ball, Mary! Now.
Passes it to 13. Revere playing rep defense on her. Passes it to 31. 31 tries to take the drive, does not get far, passes 24, 24 almost loses the ball, 24 falls,
Hunter.
And foul called on,
oh no,
foul called on Tia, that is Tia's fifth foul of the game. Tia did play well though. Malamute's taking the ball out at the sideline. Ella on 31. 32 tries to move, doesn't get far. 24 with the ball. Looks, gives the ball to 32 up top. 32 tries to drive. And she shoots, misses. Mary gets the rebound. She has two on her right now. Passes to Rivera. Rivera with the ball. Passes it back to Mary. Mary just gets past half court.
Oh, look at him.
Mary with some great dribbling right now. With some behind the backs. Passes to Ella in the paint. Ella tries to shoot, but does not make it. Ball out on 32. Jada taking the ball out underneath the hoop for the rookies.
What do I do?
Sorry, the rest of the way. Jada passes the ball in. Mihaela's fighting for the ball. Jump ball called. New Haven's ball. New Haven fighting hard, but so are the rookies. Score is 36-33 with 2.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. 32 taking the ball down the court. Passes to 24, who's wide open, but does not shoot. Passes it back to 32. Who passes it to 31 in the corner, who looks to cut. Gives it to 13. 13 shoots, misses. Revere secures the rebound. Revere taking the ball down the court. Gives it to Jada.
Look down! Look at the paint!
The test passes to Cadence, but 32 steals it from her. 32 with the ball. Wilkes passes it to 33 up top. Jada playing defense on her. Passes it to 13. 13 passes it back to 33 in the corner. 33 shoots, 33 misses. Rebound got by Ella. Ella passes to Revere. Revere stuck. Ella comes out to help. Timeout called by Fanny Joe to save her team.
Full timeout.
Full timeout. The score is 36-33. Malamutes up. Minute and 37 left in the fourth quarter. Right now, we have Ella, Jada, Mary, Revere, and Cadence in for the rookies.
Yeah.
Okay, I was counting to make sure I had the right people.
Will the rookies be able to pour it?
Hopefully.
Will the Malamutes take the dog?
Ricky's coming up from the timeout now. Taking the ball from the sideline is Jada.
I think so.
Jada passes it into Mary. Mary with her defender on her. She gets past half court though.
and passes it out to Rivera. Rivera shoots the three and misses.
I go!
And Adam puts it back up. Misses.
Yeah!
Cadence is shooting two. Foul called on 24? No, not 24.
13.
That's 13's first foul of the game. Cadence shoots shooting. And her first free throw is no good. Cadence has one more free throw.
Making count.
And she shoots. And she shoots.
Nice!
32 taking the ball up for the Malamutes as the game is getting heated. 24 the ball at the block. And Ella steals the ball, passes it to Mary. Mary pops him down to get it. Passes it to Cadence. Cadence shoots.
Yeah! I'm trying, this game is getting crazy. Cadence shooting two more free throws.
Make them count, you got it.
Cadence shoots, misses her first free throw. Cadence shooting her second free throw, she shoots, and she makes it! The score is now 36-35 with a minute and 10 seconds left in the fourth quarter. 32 taking the ball down the court for the Malamutes. Pass to 31 to 24. 32 back with the ball. Ricky's playing tough defense on the Malamutes. 31 tries to drive. Pass to 31. But Jada steals the ball. Revere with the ball and gets stopped by 31. Rookie's ball still. Sorry guys, it's getting kind of loud in here. It's getting hyped. Dana looking to pass. Passes to Mary. Mary wide with the ball now. Passes. Rivera wide open for the three. Shoots and misses. Cadence gets the rebound. Tries to put it up. But jump ball called. Rookie's ball still. 36-35 with 36 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Ball almost stolen by 33, but still the rookie's ball. Jada will be taking it out for the rookies once again. Rivera goes up, but Mary gets the ball. Mary with the ball up top. Passes to Jada in the high post. Jada with the ball at the three. Passes. Travel called on Jada, though. Malamute's ball.
Let's go, rookies! Play some defense!
32 taking the ball down the court. Mary Honor. Jada stops the ball away from the Malamutes, and it is the rookies' ball now. Jada will be taking the ball up for the rookies. The score is 36-35 with 19 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Will the rookies be able to pull it off? Revere gets the ball, loses it, and the Malamutes get it. Timeout called by the Malamutes. 36-35 with 16 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Getting, rookies are getting, both teams seem to be getting nervous, but we have to finish it off. Finish it. Be strong. Oh, sorry. I'll show the score. Once again, this broadcast is brought to you by KSDP.
Yeah, I did not
say Malamute's ball. As 31 takes it out. Mary and Ella playing strong defense on them. Mary ready to fight for the ball. Looks. Passes to 24. Revere guarding her. 24 with the ball. Passes to 31. 31. Looks. Stops. Gets the ball to 32. 32 struggling. Mary fouls over to get a stop. Taking the ball for the Malamutes. Looks to pass. Gets it to 13. Cadence on her. Passes back to 32 with 5 seconds left. Mary with the ball. Fouls 32. She didn't have the ball, but she fouled 32. 3.1 seconds left. Scores 36-35. Rangers are going to play rough defense. They're going to get it in the next few seconds. Passes it to Ida. Ida's ball holds it. One foul called on Mary, but 0.3 seconds left in the game. 36-35. Once again, 31 taking the ball out. Pass, looks fast. Foul. The ball was not inbounded. But technical called on Ella because she was trying to slap the ball out before the ball was even in.
He did, I think, right here.
No. 30, they're shooting a free throw. 30, they shoot her first free throw. Makes it. Scores now 37-35. Val meets up. Shooting her second free throw. She shoots. Makes it. Scores now 38-35. Malamute's ball. Rookies will have to make it 3 to tie the game in the next 0.3 seconds if they would like to win. Ida passes the ball into 31. Game over. Score. Final score is 38-35. Rookies did put up a fight, but the Malamutes took the win.
Okay. Yeah, there we go. 38-35. And New Halem got ahead of King Cove. So we'll continue what's going on here. It's right now at 3:16:55.
From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund. In recognition of the fishing industry, which provides more than 50,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.
The Sitka Fish and Game Advisory Committee is recommending the Alaska Board of Fisheries close Promisla Bay to commercial herring fishing, reversing its previous vote on the proposal. Proposal 179 was submitted by Steve Johnson with the intent to protect an area that has become increasingly important to the subsistence harvest of herring eggs on branches, a traditional food for the Tlingit people. The proposal was first reviewed by the advisory committee in November. At that time, the committee was evenly divided. Then, in December, it rescinded its vote in order to revisit the proposal. At a meeting in early January, it reconsidered the proposal with some new information. Lauren Sill is a subsistence program manager for Alaska Department of Fish and Game. She said, data collected from traditional harvesters showed Promisla Bay in recent years is making up a bigger share of the subsistence harvest.
Prior to, I don't know, maybe 2016, 2017, somewhere around there, a lot of the harvest was not documented up in this northern portion of Sitka Sound, but it's become more common over the last few years. I think we've documented more harvesters going to that area, partly because of where harvests, where herring are spawning, you know, during 2017, 2018, a lot of herring didn't spawn. There wasn't a lot of spawn in the, you know, traditional core area. A lot more of it was up in the northern sound, and so that got a lot of use up there.
Over 24 members of the public joined the meeting to voice support for the proposal, including traditional harvesters from Sitka and surrounding communities. Joel Jackson is the president of the Organized Village of Cake. He said Cake relies on Sitka's subsistence harvest to supply herring eggs for tribal citizens.
We used to get it, our own spawn here years ago, until the state opened up the, I think what it was called was the winter herring bait fisheries. And they did that up pretty much all over Southeast, and it completely almost wiped out our herring in our area. It really hurt us, and we had to start depending on other, like Sitka and Prince of Wales, to get our herring eggs. It's a very important subsistence food to our people.
One commercial fisherman said he opposed the proposal, and some members of the advisory committee voiced frustration with the process of revisiting the issue after it had already been voted on. Ultimately, the advisory committee voted 10-4 in support of the proposal. The Sitka AC has spent months reviewing fishery proposals and preparing its recommendations for the policymakers, the Alaska Board of Fisheries. Advisory committee support can give a proposal more weight, but it doesn't guarantee the board will give a proposal the green light. The Board of Fish meets in Ketchikan later this month. Thanks to KCAW's Catherine Rose for that reporting.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
The Aleut community of St. Paul Island announced on Friday, January 17th, that it has signed an agreement with the federal government aimed at jointly managing the waters surrounding the Bering Sea Island. As reported by KUCB's Theo Greenlee, Tribal Council President John Melavidoff says the agreement with the National Marine Fisheries Service is a step toward environmental stewardship through a partnership between the tribe and the national government. It is also a recognition of the Anungan people's historic connection to the region.
It's really the start of working together on matters, you know, related to sustainable management and stewardship of marine resources under NIMS jurisdiction surrounding St. Paul.
Federal appointees administer the National Marine Fisheries Service, which is run by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Milovidov says this agreement protects the conservation work they've done under the outgoing administration of President Joe Biden against possible changes under the new Trump administration.
This MOU is kind of a way to kind of capture the work that we've done with this current administration to keep things moving forward with any future administrations.
The agreement outlines a framework for managing marine resources, including the inclusion of tribal proposals and knowledge in fisheries policies. Its implementation will require coordination with other entities, including the North Pacific Fishery Management Council and the state of Alaska, to ensure compliance with federal and state laws.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
The process for distributing fishery disaster relief will get some much-needed relief of its own. That's after former President Joe Biden signed a bill earlier this month that aims to speed up the time it takes to get disaster money into fishermen's hands. As reported by KMXT's Davis Hovey, the new law is called the Fishery Improvement to Streamline Untimely Regulatory Hurdles Post-Emergency Situation Act, or simply the FISHES Act. It requires that the disaster monies be distributed to grantees no longer than 3 months after the U.S. Secretary of Commerce receives a complete spend plan from the state. Currently, it can take years from when a fishery disaster is declared to when the money is dispersed to fishermen, processors, and affected communities. The drawn-out timeline is in part due to the numerous state and federal entities that are involved in the process of submitting, approving, and distributing fishery disaster funding, which includes the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, NOAA Fisheries, and the Pacific States Marine Fisheries Commission, and others. The bill was co-sponsored by both of Alaska's senators and introduced by former Representative Mary Peltola in the House of Representatives last May. Senator Dan Sullivan said in a statement, quote, "Alaska's fishing industry has been through a very difficult few years, heightened by an unprecedented number of fishery disasters affecting all parts of our state. While relief dollars have been crucial to providing relief to our fishermen, in too many instances, the relief has taken far too long to get approved and reach impacted Alaskans," close quote. Senator Lisa Murkowski told state legislators during a recent meeting of the Alaska Seafood Task Force that the current timeline is unacceptable.
And every secretary has said, oh, we promised to do better. Well, what we do with the Fishes Act is we have a timeline within that disaster relief needs to move through process back in Washington, D.C. It's still not the best that it could be.
Fishery disasters have happened all over the state in recent years, most recently the Bering Sea snow crab fishery in 2023 and 2024, Kuskokwim and Yukon River salmon fisheries from several years, along with the 2020 Pacific cod fishery in the Gulf of Alaska. More are likely to continue happening in Alaska in coming years, especially with changing ocean conditions in places like the Gulf of Alaska. Both of Alaska's senators co-sponsored the legislation, along with refilling the U.S. Department of Commerce's Fishery Disaster Assistance account with $300 million. Senator Murkowski blamed the holdup in distributing disaster funding on the Federal Office of Management and Budget.
OMB is the place that every request goes to die. It's part of a black box there. It's been our big challenge with getting fisheries disaster money out.
Rebecca Skinner, the executive director of the Alaska Whitefish Trawlers Association, told KMXT via email that the Fishes Act is very important, as some fishermen in the Kodiak area are still waiting for disaster funding from the 2020 Gulf of Alaska Pacific cod fishery. She went on to say, quote, "In particular, the Fishes Act requires the secretary to respond to draft spend plans within 10 days. And provides that OMB review of spend plans shall occur concurrently and cannot slow down the process. The new law requires that the Office of Management and Budget make a decision within 30 days to either approve or deny a state's spending plan once it is awarded the fishery disaster funds." The 2025 Kodiak Tanner Crab Fishery opened on January 15th at noon, and by January 17th at 3 p.m., its coveted east side section had already closed. At that point, they had already harvested 163,383 pounds, which was 5% over their target harvest of 155,000 pounds. Kodiak's southeast section will close on January 25th at 5:59 p.m. for the state waters inside 3 miles and remained open until further notice for the outside waters. The reason for closing the state waters were, quote, "In-season catch reports indicate a closure in this area is warranted due to low tanner crab abundance and declining fishery performance." The bright spot of the entire fishery was the Pavlov subsection, which closed 12 noon January 18th. In the Pavlov subsection, they harvested over 168,000 pounds with a guideline harvest of 105,000 pounds, overshooting the mark by 60%. Average crab per pot on the east side section was 30. 12 pots per crab was the average in the southeast section. And in Pavlov, they had an average of 84 crab per pot.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
This program was brought to you by Jim and Shirley Brown's Apartments, located in Sandpoint above Trident Seafoods and the Boat Harbor, featuring two-bedroom apartments on a month-to-month basis. For more information, call Jim Brown at 386-6050.
I can hear the clock tick the wrong time.
Thank you. statues crumble, colors run and disappear, painted subjects change their meaning, killed at friends are just fading. I can't decide.
Supporting public radio is a great way to reach your customers in Southwest Alaska. 8:30 a.m. KSDP and its partner station, 88.1 FM K201DA, provide the only available radio service to the Aleutians East Borough and beyond. From Perryville and Nelson Lagoon to Cold Bay, King Cove, and Sandpoint, KSDP serves its listeners with 24 hours a day news, talk, and music programming. For corporate sponsorship opportunities, contact KSDP at 907-383-5737 or visit ksdpradio.com. Become a part of Team KSDP today. KSDP and our corporate partners committed to radio service in Southwest Alaska.